That it's a little bright up here and a little warm, so I'll give this a shot. So I grew up in the typical Oklahoma neighborhood. I will try to speak up a little louder and use this thing. I'm not very good at this. You'll have to give me a chance to warm up. So I grew up in Oklahoma, typical neighborhood. As a young kid, I was taught to believe that there was a God. I wasn't really taught anything about... Still can't hear?
Put it through your mouth. All
right. So as you can tell, I don't enjoy speaking like this and having things in my face and kind of spilling my guts, so to speak. So it's you guys will have to bear with me, but I will get it down. So anyways, grew up in Oklahoma, wasn't really taught anything about God, but was taught to believe in God. The Bible wasn't something that anybody taught me or shared or something that I saw read in my home. It just wasn't there, it didn't happen. It was kind of treated like the ceramic cows and the owls that my mom had around the house. She'd take it off every once in a while and dust it off and put it back where it was, but it wasn't something that we read. So my parents divorced when I was 6. My sister was 13 months old. After that, my mom did everything that she could to support us. She sacrificed everything that she had and who she was to make sure that we were provided for. She worked 2 and 3 jobs, sold Avon, Tupperware. Me and my sister got to lug that stuff all over town, sort it out over the living room, and work through that. So if you've had Avon parties or Tupperware parties, me and my sister were sorting that stuff out, making sure you got it on time. We were always involved with sports or some other activity. You know, my mom really did. She taught me work ethic, the importance of helping people. She taught me so much. You know, watching her work like she did just really had an impact on me and taught me, hey, you really got to work hard in this life if you want to see things happen. So I grew up working hard. When I was kind of preparing for this, I asked my mom about kind of the period of time in my life when my mom was divorced. Dad was still living in town. He was still around some. I just asked her, and she's like, you know, do you remember the question you asked me? So here I am, 7 years old, asked my mom a question. Mom, do you really take aspirin in your nose? The background of that story is that my sister and I were staying with my dad at his duplex with his soon-to-be wife, and him and my uncle and all their friends were snorting cocaine and doing marijuana and God knows what in the living room when me and my sister were forced in a tent in the kitchen steps away. So needless to say, there was a little bit of stuff going on in my life at that point in time. My dad moved away not too long thereafter. I think I was 8. My sister was probably 2 by that time. He moved to California and he stayed there. He's still there today. I didn't see him again until I was in 7th grade. I think I was 13 years old. His dad had just passed away. He came back for the funeral. Next time I saw my dad, I think I was 16. My grandmother loaded me and my sister up in her Oldsmobile. I just had my driver's license. She had a couple 8-tracks, and we drove from Oklahoma to California in a couple days. That was a road trip, I can tell you that. So needless to say, there wasn't really a relationship with my dad. We weren't connected. We never did really connect when I was a kid. And you know, being a young boy and adventurous, I always wanted to be, I really wanted to have a relationship with my dad. You know, he's this strong, adventurous guy doing things. But who was he? I didn't know. So not long after my dad moved away, my mom got married, had a stepdad, moved into the home. And he quickly became a dad to my mom, to my sister. You know, she was his little sunshine, and they just loved each other very much. And he was my football coach, my baseball coach. He, you know, forced me to study. And he's a very strong disciplinarian. You know, there were a lot of good things that he brought into our home, but at the same time, there was a lot of violence and other things he brought into the home. Discipline to him meant that it's just not something you wanted to have happen. There was numerous times that I was left black and blue, you know, from places that you aren't supposed to be. And so that's how I was disciplined as a kid. And it's not fun. So after probably one of the worst episodes of that, he moved out of the house and parents got divorced and never saw him again. So here's this guy that comes in my life and he's gone like that, watching my sister hurt. It's very painful for her because that was her dad. I mean, that's the only person she knew as her dad. My dad was gone. He was there and he was gone. To me, it was a relief because here's this guy that was beating me that's no longer there. So I'm happy he's gone. My sister and my mom are devastated trying to deal with this stuff. So not long after that, my mom had a friend that she met from California. When he was in town for work, he worked with the FAA, and they had a big training facility there in Oklahoma City. When he'd come to town, he would conveniently live with us. Well, we all knew that he had a family at home, and so you just knew something wasn't right, something wasn't there. Our next stepdad isn't even worth mentioning. You know, I think that marriage lasted all of about 6 months. Yeah, don't get me wrong, stepdads that I had showed me a lot of things. They did a lot of great things for our family. We had a lot of fun together. There was something missing. They pushed me to teach or to study. They coached me. I was a fairly good athlete in elementary school, as good as you can be as a little kid, you know, playing baseball and football and wrestling and taught me how to work and all those things. But, you know, the screaming and yelling and beating your kids and just the way that the marital relationship in our family was, that's just not something that that I wanted my boys to see. So now having two boys of my own, you know, and believing that, you know, it doesn't take long to see that kids learn by observing what their parents are doing and what the people around them are doing. My boys were just soaking everything up. So, you know, here I am watching this. And I was catching myself doing things that were completely inappropriate to be doing in front of these kids. They were 1 and 3, just little boys. And just the my attitudes, my behaviors, it really scared the fire out of me. I did not want my kids to grow up and see these things. So it's not a secret that boys need a mature man in their lives to show them the proper way. Someone that they can trust. Boys, young men, and even grown men like myself learn by observing those around them. You know, what's acceptable? What am I supposed to be doing? Showing them what is and what isn't acceptable. I didn't have a mature man in my life that was there consistently. I had uncles and cousins and stepdads and friends that, you know, that I was picking things up from. I was a composite of all these different relationships that my mom had, all the different people that were friends of the family. And I picked up things from each and every one of them, some good, some bad. But there's a big hole for me to fill. You know, I'm married, have these two kids, and I'm trying to make this work. How should I treat people? What should I do for fun? What is work? What does it mean to be good? How and why should I provide for my family? Many other important questions that I didn't have the answer to. And here it is, I'm trying to raise these two boys that are watching everything that I'm doing. And I can't answer these questions for myself. So how am I going to do this? How am I going to fix this? So just to kind of go back to a couple stories, and I'm going to skip around here a little bit, so you're going to have to kind of work with me. But just an example of some of the advice that I'd give when I was a kid. I was going to community college, trying to get my associates in chemistry. I was working for this company that traveled around the country cleaning up truck wrecks and different chemical spills. And been there a couple years, and I think I was 21 at the time. I just got a CDL so I could actually drive across the country and do different jobs. They loaded me up with this guy. He's an old guy. I think he had to have been 40 at the time. It's like, you guys go clean up this spill at the airport in Tulsa. You guys go take care of this. So we get in the truck. I'm 21, driving down the road with this guy. I wasn't 10 or 15 minutes in, and he starts telling me how much he's making. The guy's making like 20 bucks an hour, and I'm making 8. I'm like, what's going on with this? But I call my uncle, think I'm going to get some great advice. He's like, well, turn the truck around and go quit. So I did. So, you know, that's how you should live your life, right? As a business, that's how you want your guys to do, right? You want them to call and get advice from guys like that. So that was mean. I mean, they did their best, right? But that's just the life that I was living in. So, you know, I'm very thankful for everything that they did. Love them all very much, and they were a big part of my life and a big part of who I am, and I can't thank them enough for that. You know, so just kind of circling back, both my grandfathers died when I was young. And then my dad was in California. My stepdads were here, gone. The next one was around. And I was learning by watching these things. And I was just a composite of all these different people. During my formative years, I don't think that any of the men influenced me were believers in Christ. My models for being a man were flawed, to say the least. Even more so, the model for being a husband. You know, I hadn't seen my mom be in a relationship with a man that lasted more than a couple years, and every one of them had a significant failing, whether it was abuse of some kind, or there's alcohol or physical. I didn't have a good example. I had a very perverted view of the behaviors and attitudes that that I think that you need to have a successful marriage and be a father. You guys saw the movie clip the other day with, they're sitting on the couch and I don't know the actor's name, my wife could tell you, but you know, he goes, if you talk to me like that, and you were a guy, hitch in the face. You know, that's me. You know, I've had that conversation with my wife. And, you know, I just had, that's just not, yeah. So I went into marriage thinking, hey, I have this. I've got this figured out. I've seen everything you shouldn't do. I know how to do this right. I'm going to be great at this. This is not going to be a problem. I'd seen the good and the bad and knew everything that I needed to do. You know, it's just, I thought I did. But when the pavement hit the road, you know, I didn't know what it looked like to love your wife and kids. I really didn't. I didn't know what it was for me to love my wife. I didn't know what it was for me to love my kids. I didn't know what a happy marriage was, and I needed to answer that question. Could a home be peaceful? And, you know, I seriously thought patience was a waste of time. You know, just wasn't something I had. So going back a little bit further, and something I kind of skipped over in the story, if you're trying to follow it, is that when I was 12 years old, something really important happened. My grandfather was still living at the time. I was in sixth grade, I think, going into seventh grade. My grandparents had their pastor come over to the house, and we'd gone to church with them. We'd gone hunting and fishing with them. They owned a sod farm and had a little farm, and we'd spent a lot of time, you know, going down to the river and just hanging out. Well, they invited him over to the house one weekend when me and my sister were there, and he sat down at the table with me and my grandparents and walked me through what it meant to believe in Christ. So, you know, they shared with me that everyone has sinned and failed to meet God's perfect standard, and that it only took one sin to separate us from Christ, causing me to go to hell, and that there were not enough good things that I could do to earn my way into heaven. I just couldn't do it. They also shared with me that Jesus Christ had already paid the price for my sins, past, present, and future. That with his death, burial, resurrection, that my relationship with Christ could be restored, allowing me to go to heaven. If I would accept Jesus as my Savior, the one who died in my place for my sins. I can't tell you that I remember everything about that. I was 12 years old. But it had a big impact on me in my life. It wasn't present for a long time, but it was there. I had no idea how my decision to accept Jesus Christ would impact me in the future. But around that time, my world changed dramatically. There were things going on in my life, even as a 12-year-old, that reflecting on him now abruptly changed. My stepdad, even with his flaws, was someone I loved. He was my baseball and football coach, my disciplinarian, took me camping and fishing, provided for our family. It was difficult for us. And like I said, you know, there's abuse, but having him gone, I didn't have to worry about it. My sister and my mom were just devastated, but for me, it was a relief. So from 1988, when I accepted Jesus Christ in my life, to 2001, when I graduated from the University of Oklahoma, I knew very little about Christ. What I did know was generally ill-conceived. I started attending church irregularly and generally only when it was tough. When life was tough, I'd go back to the church, and I'd go for a couple weeks, couple months, or whatever it was, and it'd kind of patch things up. Sorry, it's hard to read this from up here. I didn't take into account the glare. So I knew how to study. I'd learned a lot of stuff, but I tried reading the Bible and failed. I can't tell you how many times. I'd make it the first chapter. First chapter 2, and I'd be done. The only verse I knew was John 3:16. I didn't know how to develop a relationship with Christ and certainly didn't know how to follow him. I had no clue at all. I'm pretty hard on myself. As some of you that know me have probably seen and witnessed, and I can tell you that I wasn't meeting my own expectations, the expectations and the commitment that I'd made to my wife and my family and my boys. I wasn't meeting them at all. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. It's 2007. I met Shelby, and you know, turned out to be my future wife. It didn't take long for me to figure out that there's something different with her. There's something very special. And if I don't get this sealed up pretty quick, something's going to happen, and she's going to be out of here. She's going to figure out how messed up I am. So we started talking, and I think it was around Single Awareness Day. For you guys who don't know what that is, that's Valentine's Day. And it didn't take long, but she'd convinced me to go on a date with her to San Francisco. It was supposed to be a ski trip to some of our friends. Everybody bailed out, and it was two of us. And so we went to San Francisco for our first date and just had an amazing time. So, you know, I'm very thankful to have her as my wife. She's beautiful. She's patient. She's made me, just want to be a better man. So I know we're fixing to go into Father's Day, but to all you mothers out there and all you wives, like, you guys really make it happen. You just do. So we loved each other very much. We do to this day, even more so than what we did when we first got married. She's always made me want to be better. But the type of love that it takes for a marriage to survive is so much different than the type of love that I knew and the type of love that I saw. I thought I knew what I was doing, how to love my wife, how to love my family, but my love had no solid foundation at all. The type of love that I had for my wife, our marriage wasn't going to survive that. My marriage was very vulnerable, and my understanding of what it took to have a good marriage was extremely flawed. Our relationship was dying. It was. So here we are. It's 2011. We've been married a couple years, and wife's 4 months. My wife's 4 months pregnant. We're enjoying a normal Saturday after. We're just enjoying a Saturday morning. We get a phone call. Her dad was sick, been rushed to the hospital. So we got Shelby to the airport. She flew to Midland. I took care of a few things around the house, packed up a bag, and we went. A day later, her dad was dead. Just completely out of the blue. So here I am, beautiful wife, expecting a child. Marriage is just going like crap. Just, I'm not who I should be. Had no idea how to be a husband. And her dad meant a lot to me. I mean, he was just a heck of a guy. We'd watched him have his relationship with Christ. We'd seen him baptized. He was just kind of a rock for me. He was going to be that guy that got me through this marriage, this thing that I didn't know how to do myself. And he's gone. That was tough. So by February of 2015, my wife and I were arguing more and more. We had kids under the age of 1 and 3. They're starting to model what I'm doing. They're seeing the anger that I have, and they're got a 3-year-old that's yelling. I know 3-year-olds yell and scream, but not the way that that they should be, right? So what do I do? So I was getting stuff done at work. I could outwork just about anybody. If I needed to stay at the office till 4 a.m. to get something done, I'd stay till 4 a.m. I'd be back at 7. I could work. That wasn't a problem. I was failing as a husband. I was going to fail as a father soon. I could get things done and work hard, but I wasn't doing it in a way that anybody wanted to be a part of. I mean, nobody wanted to be a part of what I was doing. I'd come to the point where I was completely incapable of sacrificing my desires for anybody else's. Loving anybody that wasn't easy to love was impossible for me. I'd come to the point where I was completely incapable of sacrificing my desires for others. If I felt like my wife, my kids, or anybody else was disrespecting me, I was completely incapable of responding in a way that they could possibly still like I love them. I desperately needed to know what it meant to follow Christ. I'd had that stone put in my shoe when I was 12 years old. It was there. It was always tugging at me. I knew that there was something I knew where the answer was, but how was I going to find it? I needed to know how to be a loving husband and a father, a person that wouldn't blow up when life got tough. So this was kind of a turning point in my life. I knew I had to turn my life over to God, that I couldn't do this on my own. I desperately needed someone I could trust, and I found that in God. Looking back over my life, I now realize that God had certainly been with me, protecting me from myself and from destroying the important relationships in my life. There was just always something pulling at me, leading me away from the things that I would get drug into. My journey into learning how to develop relationship with Christ and how to follow him started in earnest in 2012, not long after we'd lost Shelby's dad and had our boys. I had no idea where to start or how. It started with a long commute, listening to various podcasts on the radio, faith-based stations, and reading books. Started having discussions with friends and coworkers. We joined a local church when we moved. I knew something was missing and didn't know what I was doing. I have a good friend in college who was much further along in his faith journey than I was at this point in time. In addition to being active in his church, he was meeting with the more mature men, being discipled one-on-one, using something called Operation Timothy. Through asking questions and ultimately the sense of jealousy, it was really an overwhelming desire, to be honest with you. He offered to put me in touch with CBMC. He did that in March of 2015. So March 19, 2015 is when I first met with Randy at IHOP. And I can tell you that the change in my life since then has been dramatic. As I was being discipled one-on-one, we explored God's word by reading and studying the Bible, which I read for the first time in 2016. I began learning God's truths, and for the first time in my life, I felt mature and confident enough in my faith in Jesus Christ to talk about it, to share it, and to accept people challenging it. After all, I'd been and claimed to be a Christian since I was 12. I have found comfort in the fact that other people share the same struggles and lapses in faith. Previously, I felt alone in my struggles. I thought that I was the only one dealing with this stuff. You know, you look around and everybody's been through divorce and everybody's been through these same things. Why am I having problems with this? That was when, you know, a verse was shared with me that really, really meant a lot. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. In God is faith. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." That had a really big impact on me. I'm not alone in my struggles. I wasn't out there doing this by myself. Some of the men I grew up around measured their road trips and how many beers it took to get there. They were tough. They didn't need a GPS. Why was I struggling with these things these guys didn't have a problem with? My deeper understanding of the Bible has helped me to understand the power of God through his Holy Spirit and how God has protected me throughout my life when I had been pulled away from him in so many ways. Galatians 5:22 and 23 had an even bigger impact on me, the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For the first time, and they're 40 years old, I knew how a Christian was to define those behaviors. You know, the things that I think are key to having a relationship with your wife and with your kids. God continues to change my heart and the way I think and respond to life's challenges. I've learned to have faith. I've learned to trust in God. Trust isn't really something that was a strong point of mine because so many people have been ripped away from me in different ways. So trust isn't something that I easily do. I've learned a lot about God's grace and the importance of showing that same grace to others. I've had to show a lot of grace to my dad and other people to try to have those relationships. And the relationships I want to have and I think are important. I'm still learning how to love and lead. I'm still learning how to listen to follow. I still find myself stumbling and tripping up quite often. But God continues to show me grace and often gives me mercy that I don't deserve at all. I spent the first half of my life thinking I could work my way out of any situation. I could find the problem. I could make a plan. I could check the list. And things would change. God showed me that I could not do that. I tried. I was working hard. My marriage was failing. My boys weren't behaving, and it just fell apart. I had to put my faith in Him or things that mattered most in my life, such as relationships with my wife and children, would be lost. Don't get me wrong. Working hard is definitely something that we're called to do. However, on my own, I could not work my way into a great and loving relationship with Jesus Christ, with my wife, with my kids. I needed faith, true faith and a relationship with Christ. I needed to learn others, even in their weakness, and even at times when I felt disrespected. Through this, my marriage is much better and keeps getting better. I'm telling you guys, I'm very lucky to have the wife I do. She's an amazing woman and makes me just want to be better. I no longer feel like my marriage is going to collapse on any given day. And I can tell you guys, there were many days that I thought I was going to come home and I was going to have something in the mail and my marriage is going to be over. I feel like I'm a better father, and I'm gaining wisdom now through Christ to share with my two boys. I can now show grace to those previously found it impossible. You know, I really want to judge people. My flesh wants to judge people and the things that have been around me in my life and what's happened. And just, yeah. I can now pause more often and give time for the Holy Spirit to kind of speak into my life and to kind of lead me instead of trying to lead myself. I can now explain my faith and what I believe in, although you wouldn't know it from me talking today. I spent a lot of time writing this thing out, and I got up here and I can barely read it. but I'm learning what the Bible says, what it is to receive the Spirit of God, what that looks like. God's now present in my life in a real and ever-present way, and He has changed me. God is guiding me. He's helping me to lead my family and to love others. I don't exude the fruit of the Spirit, such as love, patience, and self-control. But I display those characteristics more than I ever have before. I don't have all the answers to life's challenges, but I know where and whom I can trust to lead me, where I can seek answers and have a relationship with Christ.